One day, every tomb will be an empty tomb. Happy Easter, and welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice, the voice of the Son of God, and come forth. That sounds like good news, and it is for some. The question is, what will I be resurrected to? The choices are life and judgment. It all goes back to what happened after the cross. Today, Jim will tell us more about the real triumphal entry.
Go tell my brothers. I love that. Go tell my brothers. Tell them that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Unpack that sometime in a quiet moment with a cup of tea. What's Jesus saying? His whole 3.5 year ministry, he kept saying to everyone, look, you're from beneath, you're from below, I'm from above. I come from a different realm. I'm here on assignment from heaven. I have come down here on assignment from heaven. See what he's saying? And he talked about my Father. He would say that I haven't said anything that my Father didn't put on my lips. I have not done anything that my Father did not direct done. I am here as Son serving Father. I am here as Son of God on mission from heaven. Oh, I'm still God. I and the Father are still one, but I'm here on a task. And my Father and my God is in control of my life. And now he says, you know that God I've been talking about, Mary Magdalene? Well, now he's your God. Every time I read that, I can't help but think of that moment when the veil in the temple was split, remember, from top to bottom. What did that mean? That meant that the God who had dwelt there in secret Shekinah glory, the God who had chosen to manifest his presence and to call that his dwelling, that God was no longer separated from us, from Mary, from Peter, from you. Because of what Jesus Christ had done on the cross, now God split that curtain in the temple to say, I'm available. I will be your God as I have been the God of Jesus. I will be your Father just like I have been the Father of Jesus. Think of that. That's pretty compelling in my thinking. Incredible. These are the things that are going on at the cross. These are the things that tweak my mind and make me think, wow, Jesus is incredibly involved. Now, turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And here we have this marvelous list from the Apostle Paul of the appearances of Jesus. And it is impressive. It's like Paul is saying to the Corinthian Gentiles who are reading this, hey, guys, listen, this thing wasn't on the corner. Jesus not only came back from the grave, but there were many, 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 many people who saw him. Now, I can't explain about those folks there in Jerusalem that Matthew tells us about, that after Jesus was resurrected, their graves were open. They came out and they walked the streets of Jerusalem. I don't understand that. I have no more information into that. But look here. Paul gives us kind of a quick summary. He tells us in chapter 15, starting there in verse 3, I passed on to you as most important what I received, that Christ died for our sins. Got it. Ka-ching. According to the scriptures. Oh, wait a minute. So he not only died in the manner the scripture prescribed, but his whole death was mapped out in scripture. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're saying that there's more to the death of Jesus more to the crucifixion of Jesus, more to the Calvary experience than we ought to think about. He was buried. He was raised third day, according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12. And then he appeared to over 500 brothers at one time, most of whom still are alive. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me as one abnormally born. You can add to that, he appeared to Stephen. Remember when Stephen was dying, being stoned to death? Remember what Peter says there next? Looks up into heaven and he says, I see Jesus. He's standing up. So Jesus is alive. Really alive. Now, I grant you that all of these appearances don't matter much. Hear me out here. They don't matter much to the skeptic. But next week, we're going to study the absolutely unanswerable evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. It'll be fun. So here, Paul goes through this list and tells us of these many, many appearances, somewhere between 14 to 18 separate individual accounts are given of Jesus demonstrating that he is alive, he is in a resurrected body, and that he can do things in that body that he couldn't do before he got the resurrection body. He passed through doors. Doors are locked. Nobody opened the door for Jesus to come in. He just came in. Bingo. It's incredible the things that he did to demonstrate the vitality, the reality of his physical resurrection. Then that's important, very, very important. But look at the deeper significance. Look, verse 20, chapter 15, verse 20. Now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits. That means the first ripe apple on the tree. That means the first ripe tomato on the vine. That means the first of the crop, the first fruits. Paul says that Jesus in his resurrection was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does that mean? That means that all who have fallen asleep are also going to be resurrected. Now look how commanding this is. For since death came through a man, Adam, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man, Christ. Just as in Adam all die, you didn't get to vote on that. You had no choice in that. That came with the package. You human, you sinner. You were born in a state, condition of sin because you're Adam's descendant. Just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Mark it. Take it to the bank. What Paul's telling us here, that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a whole new epoch had begun. A whole new reality had set in. A whole new condition was true for mankind, for the world, and for the future. That through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man would never be the same, the earth would never be the same, the future would never be the same, and that everyone who dies is going to be resurrected. No excuses, no passes. Brothers and sisters, that's compelling. Every person who comes into life through Adam and Eve's lineage is going to be resurrected. The last 5 or 6 years, I've become a bit more risque in the memorial services that I lead. And when we get out to the funeral, we go all the way out to the cemetery, which means the place of sleep. We're out to the cemetery, and I ask the people to stop and look around them. See all those gravestones? See all those? Every one of those is going to be empty. Every one of those is going to be empty. That is a compelling thought. And what I'm saying that during this experience of Jesus Christ's crucifixion and his ministry at the cross and through the cross, his resurrection, everything changed. Everything. All are going to be made alive. Now notice, each will come in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Now what that means is, he's the first ever to be resurrected. All those other experiences were resuscitations. People's spirits were called back from Sheol, came back to their bodies. In Lazarus' case, when he walked out of the grave, he was still bound hand and foot. And they died again. They went back to the grave because the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the capstone and it was the key to every man, woman, boy and girl who experiences the valley of the shadow of death. All. First, Christ, he is the first fruits. And in him, you have a pattern, you have an example, you have a model of what that resurrection is going to be. It's a phenomenal passage. And we read on, just as Adam all died, so in Christ all be made alive, each in his own order. First, Christ, that's Calvary, that's post-Calvary, that's back there in the garden, that's where Jesus Christ came into resurrection. Afterward, at his coming, the people of Christ. Then, we read, then comes, my text says, then comes the end. The word translated end there is a word which means the last in the pack. The last in the pack. It's the last resurrection, the final resurrection that summarizes and completes this command of God. Then comes the last resurrection when Jesus hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. The last enemy to be abolished is death. What does that mean? That means there's a day coming when there will be no more death. So let me break it down for you. Every human being is not only going to spend eternity someplace, they're going to experience resurrection. And there's a day out there in the future when death will be no more. It will be over, done, kaput, gone forever. Turn over quickly to Revelation chapter 20, and you can read when and how this takes place. Revelation chapter 20, notice with me verse 11. It says, then I saw a great white throne, one seated on it and one seated on it. That would be Jesus. Earth and heaven fled from his presence. No place was found for them. I also saw the dead, those who have died, those in the state of death. I saw the dead, small and great, as the big shots, the little shots, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up its dead, and Hades gave up their dead. All were judged according to their works. Death, that's the body. Hades, that's where the soul goes. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Anyone not found written in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. And at that point, when that judgment is completed, death is no more. Folks, what Jesus did in the crucifixion and resurrection is incredibly fantastic. if you lean in a little closer and ponder the text a little bit, it probes our slumber, wakes us from our comfortable familiarity with these things, tells us that we have not at all exhausted what took place at Calvary. That what took place at Calvary was a God-on-God thing. Satan had nothing to do with it. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those were the active participants. All the rest of them were secondary characters in roles as described by Jesus when he said to Pilate, "Pilate, this is over your head, son. This is beyond your power. Pilate, this is out of your control. You have nothing to do with my crucifixion." I find these things amazing. There are other things that you'll ponder if you'll take the time to pause at the cross. Now, it's not my desire tonight to be considered deep. It's not my desire tonight to be considered scholarly. My desire tonight is to stir up our minds and our hearts, to ponder and go to the depths of what Jesus was doing in his ministry during this period of time. From the time he was nailed to the cross until the time he went back to the Father. Philippians 2 gives us a wonderful capstone for all this. It says that because Jesus emptied himself, became a man, and as a man became subject unto death, even the death of the cross, the Father, therefore, exalted him and has given Jesus a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Every knee, every tongue. Them in heaven and them in the lake of fire. That's the magnitude of the work of Jesus at Calvary. So, Father in heaven, we look forward to these things. Here, indeed, you did. You really put the crack on the serpent's head. You put him out of business. And today, he's really on borrowed time, and he knows it. He's really limited, and he knows it. And you, Lord Jesus, are already reigning in heavenly spheres. Give us confidence that you will finish, complete all that you've done, that there will be a time when there'll be no more paradise, there'll be no more Abraham's bosom, there'll be no Sheol, but the great mass of human individuals will have been reassembled. Many who reject you and refuse to entertain you in their thoughts will be in the lake of fire. And Satan isn't king there, he's chief prisoner. And those who have humbly come to you, Jesus, and recognized themselves as sinners and the sufficiency of your death on their behalf as their substitute, they will be in heaven, celebrating, rejoicing, enjoying the bounty of your graces, your mercies, your resurrection power. Oh, Father, remind us that Jesus promised an even greater defense of his resurrection. He did that in the moments just before he left this earth, and while the disciples watched, he rose through the clouds, disappeared through those clouds. But two angels stood by and said, "He's coming back. just like he went up, this same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, will return. So you have more work to do, more plans to accomplish in relationship to the earth and its peoples and its ruin and its fall. You're going to recreate it, reconstitute it, and we're so proud, so pleased to be part of that process. So dear friend, if you're within the sound of my voice, you're hearing what I'm saying, please don't get hung up in any of the things that we've talked about specifically tonight, but hear this message. Jesus Christ did something for you at Calvary you cannot do for yourself. And through the power of what he did at Calvary, he can do something for you that you can't cure for yourself. He can deal with your sin. He can forgive you, break its power, set you free, and give you a new life, a life energized by the Spirit of God himself, a life that's like the life Jesus now enjoys. That's his gift. That's his offer. He won't force it on you, but he offers it on the basis of trusting him and asking him, receiving him to be your Savior and Lord. Do it. Please, do it. Please, please, please. You may say, but Jim, I don't understand all that. Trust me, I don't understand all of that. And amazed at the rest of it. You don't get saved because you understand it. Your salvation comes because you receive it. It's a gift of grace. Don't try to earn it. Just receive the one in whom the gift resides. That's Jesus. That's his name. Please do that. Father, bless those, encourage those who make that commitment to you tonight, and encourage us to see the sweep of the things that you were doing behind the scenes, we might say, to accomplish the grand goal of our Heavenly Father's incredible program. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Bless us. Help us to think on these things often and draw us in to celebrate them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We rattle off the phrase, his death, burial, and resurrection, but there was something else going on between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Another event belongs on that list. We have only glimpses of it, but Jesus' ministry in the underworld and leading captivity captive makes possible the new future that Jim talked about. It's a future in which death is dead. Jim's message is called The Real Triumphal Entry. If you'd like to get the sermon on CD, let us know and we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. I'll tell you how to order in a moment. Thanks to you if you're praying for Right Start or supporting the ministry financially. And those thanks come not only from Pastor Jim and the Right Start production crew, but from grateful listeners in Ohio and New Zealand and all over the world. If the Lord has been nudging you about this, please go ahead and take that small step of faith. Mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085, USA, or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And come by the website, rightstartradio.org. You can play radio programs there, or play or download the original sermons without the broadcast breaks. And you can have new shows come to you automatically by subscribing to the Right Start podcast on iTunes. Just go to that website, rightstartradio.org. No spam, no junk mail. That's our policy, and we stick to it. rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. We really hope you have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And please join us on Monday when we'll start a new series on the next Right Start. ¶¶